Each one of us probably at some time or another has said or heard said, there's just not enough time in the day. I'm not for sure that the problem is with the amount of time in the day as much as it is with how we use the amount of time that's in the day. Those of you that are here regularly will remember that we're using the entire month of April to center lessons and other things around the work with the university students, and that our sermon topics have been taken in connection with the Making Music Weekend. When I received the first copy of a brochure this year concerning the Making Music Weekend and opened it up inside, the word schedule caught my attention. It was there with an arrow pointed over to the other side of the brochure. And as I looked, I saw three columns, one thing after another, and immediately realized that all that's going to take place from 8 a.m. Friday morning till 10:30 or 11 o'clock Saturday night. And you might have looked at something like that and thought, boy, that's amazing that all of that can be put in that number of hours. But really, it's not, because everything was planned. The schedule was planned in minute detail, so that those who planned it and those who were attending knew exactly when each thing was to take place. I believe that's what's being talked about, or that idea is what's being talked about in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Verse 17. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I'm convinced, folks, that the problems that we have with time is not so much the amount of time that we have as the way we plan and use that time. We are definitely equal when it comes to the amount of time in each day. And we need to realize that God has set up the day as he has. He has fixed it so that it will always be that length. He has prepared it so that you and I know exactly how many hours will be in it. And the situation is such that we can determine with just a little bit of effort how many daylight hours there will be. Again, I suggest to you that our basic problem is not the amount of time, but our relationship to that time. This morning, as we talk about your schedule, realizing that some of you that are here today will be going into other areas to seek a job and begin work and prepare a schedule that may be a little different, many of us will be continuing in what has been our normal schedule of events. We believe that it's important for us to look at this and to think about time and our relationship to it. There are three words that I want you to get in your mind this morning and take with you when the lesson is over. They rhyme. The three words are realize, analyze, and organize. Realize, analyze, and organize. Number one, if we're going to be able to have a schedule that's like it ought to be, we need to realize the value of time. And I don't apologize for starting with that point and underscoring that word value. We must realize the value of time. When I read 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 2, and see the admonition given about being a good steward, I'm convinced that that passage is not limited to caring for money. We usually refer to this passage when we're talking about earthly possessions. God has entrusted talents to us, like the man did in Matthew 25, and certainly that idea is involved. But I say to you this morning that being a good steward is not limited to the use of money. God expects us to be good stewards of our time. When you go back to Old Testament scriptures, you realize that time was important then. One example in the old law is found in Exodus 21, 18 and 19. Two men got in a fight, and one beat the other one half to death to where he couldn't work for a while. The one who had done it was not to be killed in this case, but he was to repay, and one of the interesting things it said is, he is to pay for the loss of time. He is to pay for the loss of time. God considered time to be important back then. When Moses wrote Psalm 90, Psalmist David didn't write all the Psalms. When Moses wrote Psalm 90, which tells us about the 70 and the 80, he included at what's now marked at verse 12, to this, he said, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. The context would suggest to us that he's not talking about just remembering exactly how old we are, but he's talking about applying something. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply ourselves. That's realizing the value of time. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. All of these passages indicate to us the value of time. And then even when we consider the judgment day itself and standing before God to give an account, again, there's more involved than just earthly possessions. Ecclesiastes 12:14, he'll bring every work into judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll be judged according to the things done in the body, deeds. Revelation 20:13, again, the works shall be that's involved in the factor, at least one of the factors involved in our being judged before God. And in Colossians 3:17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, notice that word deed particularly and underscore it, that's action. That's something that takes time. Not necessarily money, but it takes time. And he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So we have many things in the Bible, as well as life itself, which convince us that time is valuable. You only have to be reminded that the millionaire who is on his deathbed would be willing to give all his millions, at least many thousands of dollars, if he could just have another hour or another day. If it could just be something done that his life would be lengthened, that he could have more time. Money doesn't mean very much when one comes to that point in life, but time means so much. Realize the value of time. Number two. Analyze the demands on your time. We live at a busy time. I believe Henderson, Tennessee is one of the busiest places I've ever seen. There is something going on all the time. Sometimes I almost say 25 hours a day. We are allowing ourselves to get caught up in the busy affairs of life with all the demands that are there. You take the environment in which we live and consider the circumstances, and there's the demand for time at work, and there's the demand for time at home, and there's the demand for time and involvement in the work of the church. And now Little League Baseball has started, and other things along that line, and some mothers and fathers meet themselves coming and going. We even use these statements, such a demand on our time. Folks, we need to analyze and notice what's involved and especially get our priorities straight. Jesus, in talking to the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 23:23, said there are some weightier matters of the law. And he contrasted those matters that were heavier with those that were lighter, those that were more important with those that are of lesser importance. Now, you'll notice as you study that, Jesus doesn't say leave any of these out. But he says, do what's most important first. He said, you take care of the weightier matters of the law, and then you take care of those things that are not as important. It was Jesus in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, who said, it's possible for a person to become so involved in asking, what will we eat, and wherewithal shall we be clothed, and what kind of a shelter are we going to have over our heads, and things like that, that we become so involved that we don't think about God and His kingdom. And right in the middle of that, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And the way God adds those things is through blessing our efforts. So He's really saying, you put God and His kingdom first, and then you'll have plenty of time to cultivate your garden and to grow the food or obtain the food in however you, whatever way you may use to obtain it. You put first things first, and then the other things will fit in the appropriate way. Paul contrasted the temporal things and eternal things in 2 Corinthians 4:18, and emphasized that we ought to learn to think on those things that are eternal. We need to put things in proper focus and analyze what needs to be done first and when it needs to be done in order to use our time in the right way. In Luke 14, there's the story of the man who made the great supper and sent somebody out to invite people. Remember, one of them said, I bought some land and I've got to go see about it. Another one said, I bought some oxen and I need to appraise them. And another one said, I've married a wife and I cannot come. And the one who had made the supper, perhaps representing Christ in this occasion, or God, was displeased. Now, he didn't say there was anything wrong with buying land and oxen and marrying a wife. What he was saying was, it's wrong to get so involved in these things that you don't have time to worship God. If those people had gone to the supper, they could have gone back and taken care of their land and oxen later. Or maybe they could have gotten out of bed an hour earlier that morning and taken care of some things they needed to before they had to go to the supper. That's getting our priorities straight. Putting first things first and doing first things first. We have to decide, what am I going to do for God? What will I do for my family? How much is it going to take for me to work this week? Somewhere along there, it'd be good if we could learn to spend some time alone, as Jesus did when he went up into the mountains or out in the boat to pray. Some time to think about God's word and to pray to God. It may be that we need to learn to divide our responsibilities into must, shoulds, and coulds. And I believe if we will analyze our lives and what's expected of us, that we will be able to do more than we think we can. But it involves an analysis. Realize the value of time, analyze the demands on your time, and organize your use of time. God's book emphasizes organization. God always had a plan, had set times. There's an interesting statement in Exodus 9, verse 5, where he's dealing with one of the plagues, the disease in cattle. And this verse says that it will happen tomorrow at the set time. God set some times. He had some organization. It's rather interesting to read about Christ in passages like Galatians 4, 2 through 4, where the Bible says Christ came in due time or fullness of time. God had a schedule. Started the planning back there in the beginning, Ephesians 3, 9 through 11. He had these things in his mind. He planned these things at the beginning of the world. But he had a schedule of what had to happen with the children of Israel before Christ could come on the scene. And when Christ came on the scene, he came at the fullness of time. He came at the due time. You remember there were occasions where Jesus would say to his apostles, it's not time. It's not the time for me to go. It's not the time for me to do this right now. In due time we'll do this. And Paul even says, in due season or due time we shall reap if we faint not. God emphasizes organization and having the right kind of plan. Jesus in Luke 13:33 said something that I'll do this today and then I'll do this tomorrow and I'll do this. The idea was certain things to be done today and certain things tomorrow and certain things next year. James 4:13-15, there's a condemnation for a person making plans without taking God into consideration, but there's not a condemnation of making plans. That's where he says, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, your life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But listen to the next verse. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this and that. Do what? What he's been talking about there. If it's the Lord's will, we'll go into such a city and We'll live there, and we'll buy and sell, and we'll do this tomorrow, and we'll do this the next day. God's book is emphasizing organization. He's just criticizing organization without taking the will of God into consideration. And the person who knows what he needs to do today, the Bible indicates that we need to plan a year at a time. 2 Corinthians 9, they were prepared, or at least purposed, a year ago to do the things that he's telling them to do now. And then there may be a sense in which we plan for a month, and we plan for a week, and we plan for a day. But the idea is that we organize our time, our use of the time, organize ourselves in order to use that time in the right way. One factor that's involved in organizing and using time in the right way is knowing how to use the right kind of tools and helps that we have. It'd be foolish for you ladies to go home tomorrow and get you an old tub and a rub board and start washing your clothes because you've got an automatic washer. You can organize your time better now because you have a tool that you can use. Look at all the tools that we preachers have to use now in planning our lessons and preparing them that some of our predecessors didn't have. Look at the telephone. A person can sit down in his chair at home and in a matter of a few minutes make contact with many people and check on the sick and talk about what's going on in the work of the church. Organizing our tools and our materials. Knowing where things are. Being able to find them. Being able to put our hand. Well, sometimes we spend more time hunting for something than we do using it after we find it. Organization. Knowing where things are. Organizing the use of time involves learning how to organize our actions. I think sometimes we're not unlike the little dog that's following his master down the road, and the little dog runs over here, and the minute he runs over yonder, and the minute he's over, and by the time he gets a few yards down the road, he's out of breath. Hasn't accomplished anything. If we're not careful, we get up in the morning without any organization, without the proper use of time, and we just start running here and running there and doing a little bit here and a little bit there without any organization, we don't accomplish very much. But if we're able to organize and make a list of what needs to be done, the musts and the shoulds and the coulds, organize where we do things in the right way with things together, it's amazing how much we can accomplish. Let me give you two examples that are a bit personal. More of my gospel meetings are in Middle Tennessee than anywhere else because I have lived in that area more. When I go to Middle Tennessee for a gospel meeting, I try to go by Sam's in Nashville and buy things that we need for the church. My dad and mother live in Middle Tennessee. I go by to see them. My dentist that's taken care of my teeth for 30 years lives in Middle Tennessee. I always make an appointment while I'm in a meeting. Now think how many trips I'd have to make if I ran to Middle Tennessee to visit my parents, and I ran to Middle Tennessee to the dentist, and I ran to Middle Tennessee for Sam's, and then a gospel meeting. If I plan ahead and get my appointments right, I can make one trip and do all those things together. Especially when I was in Tullahoma, most of the hospital visiting was done in Nashville. There's Vanderbilt Hospital and St. Thomas Hospital and Baptist Hospital and Westside Hospital and Parkview Hospital. Five hospitals, and if we had five patients in Nashville, there was one in each hospital on the top floor. Well, now, if I took off to visit, and I went and visited one and came back and visited, you know how long it would take? But if I organized and put all that in a circle and planned it, it could be done in a few minutes. We can learn to do two things at once. You ladies can learn to break beans and crack pecans while you watch television. Some of the programs we watch might even better to think about what we're doing. Those of us that drive a lot can take a tape of a sermon or of the scripture and listen to it while we're driving without putting anything in danger. Still drive and listen. It's organization of time. It's putting things together. And I believe that God expects us to be good stewards in that sense. Realize the value of time. Analyze the demands on your time and organize the use of your time. And you will find that your schedule will be much easier to handle. As we even think about the extending of the Lord's invitation, we need to think about time. Time is mentioned. The jailer went the same hour of the night, was baptized, he and his straightway. Paul said, "Behold, Now is the accepted time. Writer of Hebrews, Hebrews 3 said, today is the day that we're not to harden our heart. All of these are talking about time. And as we emphasize the need of one becoming a Christian and being baptized into Jesus Christ, it's really saying this. Every day that you stay out of Christ is one day more for the devil and one day less for God. If you need to be restored, every day you stay away from developing that right relationship again is one day for the devil. That's giving time to the devil and keeping time away from God. We need to realize that we're to be good stewards of our time and to have the right kind of schedules where we realize the value, analyze the demand, and organize the use. And I believe if you will think about those ideas and really think about your need, that you'll realize that it is high time that you have the right relationship with God, and if you don't, that you'll use this time to come as together we stand and sing.
Our promise is kind in the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard.